folks. This is Steve with episode 5 of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Once again, coming from my portable studio, which is the iPhone with a headphone jack, and hopefully you're able to hear these pretty clearly. But today's episode, I'm looking forward to giving to you all. Hopefully you'll be able to find some great value in it. It's actually something I learned a long time ago when I was reading some books on marriage, and it comes from The Love Life for Every Married Couple by Ed Wheat and Gloria Oaks Perkins. And it is How to Have a Best Marriage, and best stands for blessing, edifying, sharing, and touching. So we're going to be covering some of those aspects and how implementing each of those into your marriage can help build your marriage. And of course, having a strong marriage is fundamental to having a legacy that you can pass on in your family. Every family needs strong parents in order to pass on to the next generation love and faith and everything else. And so strengthening a marriage is very important. But before we actually look into that, I want to direct your attention to some of the business. First of all, visit the website. We're continuing to add things and update them. And the more traffic that we have to the website, the better everything will be for everyone. Download some of the resources. Tell a friend if you like what we do here. Put it on Facebook. Make sure other people know about it. Pass on the information. And then also visit us at Facebook. We've got a website now on Facebook, and so I want to encourage you to look at that. And then also we're looking for people to rate us on iTunes. If you can download this from iTunes, and that's the resource that you use for acquiring this, if you want to put a comment in there, that would be great. Help other people to notice us. And also I would encourage your feedback. Speaking of which, you can give me feedback on this show, as well as any other show or questions you might have. I hope to have some question answer time in later episodes. So if you have a question about leaving a legacy and some of the issues that we talk about here on the Legacy Podcast, I encourage you to let me know at feedback@thelegacypodcast.net. Again, that's feedback@thelegacypodcast.net. And then finally, consider becoming a Legacy Partner in the Legacy Partner Program. This is a way that we can increase the value to you as the listener, as well as to the website itself, and increase the business. Right now, of course, I'm operating on my own resources, but if you're able to help contribute to that, then it'll just make things go a lot faster and a lot better for everyone. So consider the Legacy Partner Program, $30 a year, which comes out to be less than 25 cents an episode. You're able to support the program and make sure that it stays on the air and stays podcasting. And so I encourage you to be a part of that. Well, that just about wraps up the business section of the podcast. And so let's get right into the content of the book, Love Life for Every Married Couple. We're just covering a segment of that, but I'm going to give a link, of course, to where you can purchase that. It's by Ed Wheat, MD, and Gloria Oaks Perkins. And he, in one chapter there, gives this formula for having the best marriage. BEST stands for blessing, edifying, sharing, and touching. And implementing these into your marriage can be revolutionary in being able to strengthen your marriage. So let's look at each one of them in turn. First of all, blessing. This is comes from the Greek word, which is a combined word for good and sayings or words or things. And so blessing is saying good words to or about someone. And there are many ways in which we can bless our spouses, and I want to look at just a couple of those with some examples. First of all, blessing through good words spoken about or to someone. One of the first and most important things you can do is make a covenant never to speak badly about your spouse or to your spouse. Now, I know this can sometimes be hard, especially when, you know, they've done something wrong to you, and the tendency is to complain to your mother or complain to your father or best friend or best girlfriend, whatever it is, and complain about your husband or your wife to them. But that is a fundamental error, because it continues to harbor bitterness. And so make a covenant with yourself to never speak badly about your spouse. And, you know, you see this all the time. Of course, if you watch any kind of television, you see the belittling of spouses all the time with one another. And this should not be. A wife blesses her husband when she expresses to him the things she likes about him. And that's a great way that you can bless your husband is when you speak good things about him and to him. And then finally, of course, or obviously in contrast, a husband blesses his wife when he tells her how beautiful she is or something like that. And you know, it's real easy. It's something that you can do on a regular basis to just think about the things that your wife or your husband do that is a blessing to you, and then tell them that it's a blessing. And then you can also bless through kind actions. Maybe intentionally do something each week that you know would be a blessing to your wife or to your husband. Maybe your wife is the one who does all the dishes in the house. Well, maybe one day a week, just determine you're going to do the dishes and be a blessing to her through your actions. You have to find out what it is that your wife or your husband feels would be of great benefit to you or to them, and then do that. But I know that for most of us, we're so busy, we get so caught up into routines, it's sometimes hard to think through some of these things, but maybe you should need to even put it on your calendar. You don't have to tell your wife it's on your calendar or to-do list or something like that, but just once a week, if you would make it an effort of yours to do something of kind action to your wife or to your husband, that would really be a blessing to them. And then also you can bless them through expressing thankfulness to your spouse. How many times do husbands miss an opportunity to bless their wives when they don't say anything about the work that they do? Now, oftentimes the work of a wife, if they stay at home, is tedious work, and there's very little recognition for it. They're cleaning, they're cooking, they're taking care of little ones, and with husbands who would go off to work, or they build a business, or whatever it might be, they get the recognition of being able to see it grow and things like that. But with wives, it's rarely the case, and so. What a great opportunity husbands have to be a blessing by thanking their wives regularly for the things that they do. And, you know, this is contagious. Even just small things like thanking your wife for the meal that she cooks at dinner time. If you've got kids around the table and you thank your wife around the table for that meal, the kids end up thanking her too. And that develops an attitude of thankfulness in the home. And so expressing thankfulness to your spouse. And then how many wives miss the opportunity to bless their husbands when they don't say anything good about how hard he works or what he does to provide for the family? Or if he's a spiritual leader, thanking him for being the spiritual leader. Sometimes we just take things for granted, but it's so important to be thankful to our spouses for these things. And also we can bless through praying for and with our spouses. You know, there's an intimacy that takes place when we pray with and for each other. Couples who pray together stay together. You've probably heard that expression before, and you know it's true, and I think it's because there's that intimacy, there's that bond that is developed between the two of them. There's something that is just unique about that, and I don't know about you, but most men love to hear their wives pray, and most wives cherish and have a deep longing to hear their husbands rise up as men of prayer and pray for them and for their families. And so we can be a blessing to each other when we pray for each other and with each other. So here's just kind of a conclusion to the blessing part of it. And you can find some of these in the book. Do not curse or wish bad to your spouse, but only good. This is even true when you might be angry with them. Be empathetic and understanding. You know, we're very different as husbands and wives. The way we approach things, the way we look at things, not only different as individuals, but we're different as genders as well. And so we need to be empathetic and understanding to the differences. And then live in harmony as much as is possible. Live at peace with each other. Don't try to start fights. Sometimes it's best just not to say anything if it looks like it might start a fight. And they do not think you're better than your spouse. This is a real problem for so many because we tend to think that our way is the best way or the only way. And it seems to be the only way in which everybody else should be doing it as well. But we need to be careful not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And then do not repay evil for evil. I know that this is a tendency in most marriages that if one person disappoints you, let's say the husband disappoints the wife and the wife has a tendency to withhold love from her husband, or vice versa. If the wife disappoints the husband, and the husband gives her the silent treatment or something like that. Well, that's repaying evil for evil, and that has no place in a good, strong marriage. Be careful to do what your spouse considers to be right. We often want to be right in what we do, and we often require others to fall in line with us because we think our way is right. Well, sometimes it's not worth the fight. Sometimes it's better to just live in harmony and do what the other person thinks is right. And then as far as possible, live peaceably with your spouse. Never take revenge. Consider to do good things for each other, even if it's only one-sided. And so, you know, sometimes it requires us to give even when we're not receiving. And that's a blessing in itself if we can do that. And then do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So bless one another. Secondly, edify one another. This, of course, is the E. And edifying is comes from the Greek word that really means building up or house builder. It's the idea of building up a house as one would in construction. But here, of course, used figuratively, it is the idea of building up a house on a spiritual and mental and emotional reality. And so we are to build up our spouses. It's been proven, and this is very interesting, but it's been proven that athletes always do better when there are cheerleaders cheering them on. I remember back in high school, of course, I played basketball, and we used to love having the cheerleaders. We didn't have football where I grew up for most of my life, and so basketball was the deal, and the cheerleaders for the basketball would come out, the teams would come out, and the games are just not quite the right when cheerleaders weren't there, and we always played better when there was cheerleaders, and this has been a proven fact. So your spouse should be the very best cheerleader in your family. They should be the ones that are able to come alongside you and cheer for you when times get tough or even when they don't. It should be a time where, just as athletes need cheerleaders, so do husbands and so do wives. Husbands should be cheerleaders of wives as well. Often we think it's just the other way around, but, you know, husbands can cheerlead their wives in the things that they do also. The wife best edifies her husband by responding to him in a positive way. Husbands have a natural need to lead in many cases, and God has given women a natural desire to respond to that leadership. And the best way that a wife can show edification to her husband is responding to his leadership. And husbands, of course, can show leadership to their wives and by edifying them, by giving godly leadership to them. It's proven also that the vast majority of wealthy people have supportive and encouraging spouses. And so, obviously, that would be necessarily the wrong motivation just to be able to have wealth. But certainly, it is a blessing and a correlation if you have an edifying spouse, particularly a wife who is edifying. It provides ample room for growth in the man and enables him to be able to prosper abundantly. There's often also a correlation between the way in which a husband's leadership can enable the wife to edify him. And so not only should the wife edify the husband, but the wife needs to lead and edify his wife in the process. Be a house builder and edify one another. So here are 9 ways in which to edify. Number 1, make a commitment to never again be critical of your partner. I know this is hard, and I know that our tendency, our human nature, is to criticize what somebody else does or what someone else says or the way they act or the way they look or, you know, they're not quite doing something the way that we want done. But the best way that we can edify is to make a commitment to never be critical of our partners. You know, if we come right down to it, God knows what our partners need to do to change. It's not our responsibility as a husband or as a wife to make those changes in our partner. So number 2, study your partner to see where he or she needs to be built up. In other words, we should be aware of the ways in which our husband or our wife is has a tendency to be down or has a tendency to lose confidence or areas in which they feel weak. And it is important that we know what those areas are and then we edify them in those areas. Let's take, for example, if a wife has a natural tendency to look at herself as not being very pretty. Maybe, you know, she thinks she's fat or maybe she She just thinks that her smile's not, whatever it might be, her hair's not right, she's getting old, wrinkles, whatever it is, she will feel susceptible to, she won't feel right. She'll feel down, and she'll need to be encouraged, and she'll need to be built up. And it's our responsibility to know the tendencies that our wife has and the needs that she has to be built up, and vice versa for a wife to a husband. It's important that a wife understands where the husband needs particular edification and then be able to provide that for them. And then number four, consistently, genuinely, and specifically and generously verbalize praise and appreciation for your partner. Let's look at those again. Consistently, this means, you know, on a daily basis, we need to be looking at ways in which we can verbalize praise and appreciation to our partner. It also needs to be genuine. In other words, we can't just say something that we don't really mean. And now, if it's hard for you to give praise, verbal praise and appreciation to somebody, then, you know, look to the Lord and allow Him to give you strength to be able to do that, so that you can provide very generous and specific and consistent praise. And then that brings up the next one, is specific. In other words, we can't just say that you can't just tell your wife, for example, that she's pretty. Okay, you need to be very specific. Why is it that she's pretty? You can't just tell your husband's wives that he's a good husband. What is it about him that makes him a good husband? Be very specific so that those qualities can continue to surface. And then be generous. We need to be very, you can never give somebody enough praise. You can never give somebody enough encouragement, enough edification. And so verbalize this praise and appreciation to your partner. Number five, recognize your partner's accomplishments and give proper respect for them. Recognize your partner's accomplishments and give proper respect for them. You know, when your wife or your husband does something that is worthy of recognition, then we should recognize them for that. We have a tendency to become complacent in our relationships and just allow things to happen. You know, when we're dating, anytime we see somebody do something great, we give him or her praise for that, and we tell them how great they are. But then, as time goes along, we take those things for granted. We forget to praise and give compliments and recognition for them. And so we should recognize our partner's accomplishments and give proper respect for them. Number six, husbands, always keep your attention on your wife, never on another woman. This is so critical. This can be so devastating to a wife. And I'm not going to speak a whole lot on this right now because I'll have other episodes on it, but pornography is a challenge for men, a growing challenge for women, unfortunately, but it is a real challenge for men, and with all the access that is available today to it, and that just that can so devastate a wife. But even if we don't go that far, just wandering eyes can be devastating to a wife's self-esteem and can reverse the effect of edification. So men, keep our attention on our wives and never on another woman. Number seven, wives, always show your husband that he is the most important person in your life. Value his opinions and his judgments. You know, if you have a decision to make, he likes to know that you want to come to him for wisdom and for some judgments and for his opinions. And, you know, if he has an opinion, even if it's different than yours, respect that opinion and consider it. And God has made him to have a certain level of wisdom, and certainly that can grow, but it's sometimes different than what you might have as a wife. And so you should always show your husband that he is the most important person in your life. Value his opinions and his judgments. And then number eight, respond to each other physically and facially. In other words, particularly when you're talking to each other, smile with each other, charm each other. You know, this would happen when you were dating. This was happening when you were courting each other, or you know, when you were first getting married, when you first noticed each other. You look at each other, you smile, it's got the twinkle in the eye. Charm each other. Don't lose that. Continue to show that to each other. That's a way of edifying each other, building each other up, showing each other that you still have a spark in your eye for each other. And then number 9, be courteous and well-mannered to each other. You know, familiarity breeds contempt. And sometimes when we become familiar with each other, we lose the ability to be courteous and well-mannered to each other. And unfortunately, in our society, the whole idea of manners and etiquette has been thrown out the window to the point now that gentlemen can't even be gentlemen anymore because they don't know really what that means. And that should not be the case. Particularly, men, you need to be very mannered towards your wife and vice versa. So that's edification. Now, third is sharing. Of course, that is the S. And this is the development of unity between the wife and the husband by doing various activities together or considering each other's activities and be a part of them. I know that with most people, when they share things together, they build memories together, they build relationship and oneness together. And so when we share our lives together in various ways, it builds the intimacy that is necessary in marriage. And so there are four areas in which we can grow in oneness as we share together. The first is common ground, things that we both do together that builds this kind of sharing, this kind of ability. One of the things that has been, I think, really valuable in my household recently is working on the farm together. When we garden together and we're all outside working, my wife and I and the kids and everybody's out there, it doesn't matter if we're all doing the same thing, but we're all working together on the same cause and we're sharing that time together, sharing a business. And of course, a business is a wonderful opportunity to be able to have common ground together. When we all work together in a family business, it is a way for us to build that kind of common ground, that kind of community together. And of course, we have raising kids together. If you're a husband and wife that have children, that is a common ground area that you both can work together, and it builds unity, it builds a kind of companionship. And then going to church together would be another example, as you worship together as a family. You know, one of the worst things, and I'll talk about this in another podcast, about how the family is so disunited when it comes to church, but and not united together because they're segregated. But when it comes to church, I hate to see that a wife will come with the kids without the husband, or the husband will come with the kids without the wife. Rarely it's the latter. Usually it's the former, where the wife comes without the husband to church. Well, what a tragedy that is when she's trying to build this bond of spirituality in her household, and he can't be a part of her. He doesn't want to be a part of her. He's unwilling to be a part of it. How tragic is that? Sharing the worship of God together can be some of the best time together. And so those are just some examples of some common ground that you can have: family business, raising kids together, church. There might be hobbies that you do together that both of you like. Maybe it's hiking or skiing or fishing or hunting, whatever it might be. When you do various activities together, it builds this common ground. But there's also separate ground that can be brought together that you can involve yourself in. Try to bridge the gap if you can't join them in the event. So let's say your husband has a particular job that he has to go to, and you can't really go with him to that job. But you can still share with him in that job. When he comes home, you can talk to him about it. You can be a part of some of the decisions that he has to make. He can include you in that. And you can share that time together, even though you may not be able to be with him. And you share that really through communication, as you talk about the situations that are taking place in those activities that you might not have common ground on. From mutual understanding, being able to understand from his perspective or from her perspective if it's something that he is joining her with. And then encouragement. This goes back, of course, to edification and being able to look to the various needs that are there and share with him or her in those needs. And then also there's new ground that can be shared together, and you can join in worlds by participating with them. So let's say, for example, that your husband may like to hunt and you never learned how to hunt, never liked hunting, didn't like guns, whatever it might be. And this can be an area where you can really develop some oneness and some closeness by, you know, allowing him to teach you how to shoot, or allowing him to teach you how to hunt, or maybe it's something else. Maybe she's always liked to hike, and you never liked to hike, husband. And then when you get married, this can be a way where you can develop some bonding together as you learn how to do some of the activities that she likes to do, and sharing in those together. And then you can also participate in new ground together both. And so maybe you decide you're going to both take up a new hobby. Maybe you both decide you're going to venture into a new business together, or you're going to take steps together in a new direction, and being able to communicate together and participate together in that. And this often happens when you start a new business together, and you're working together in that new business or something like that. It enables you to share those times together, build your relationship on a foundation of sharing activities and sharing thoughts and sharing ideas and working together in those. And so sharing is important in building this oneness. And then finally is touching. This is the T of best. And, you know, it has been proven that touching is important not only to abundant life, but it's important to life. A child who is not touched after birth ends up often dying. And so the same thing can be true when it comes to marriage. A marriage that is built without the aspect of touching to it will be a marriage that soon dies out and doesn't have the same kind of vitality that it should have. And so here are some suggestions that I got from the book. I've consolidated some of them. If you want to get all 25, which he lists in his book, I encourage you to pick up a copy of it. I will link to a place where you can get that in the show notes. But here are just 9 ways in which you can build touching into your relationship, and so build strength into that relationship. First of all, communicate with each other what touches feel good and when. In other words, at certain times of the day, certain times of the month, certain times of your life, certain touches feel better than others, and we need to know what those are. You need to know, husbands, what it is that your wife likes, and wives, you need to know what it is that your husband likes when it comes to touching. Don't touch just like you want to be touched, because often it's different than what the wife or what the husband respectively wants to be touched. Secondly, touch without it leading to sex. Now, man, this is particularly for you. I know that it's hard sometimes to touch your wife and not gain a desire also to go beyond that. But it's important sometimes for this to happen. Wives want to know that they can be cherished and touched without it often leading to sex. Now, sometimes it does, and sometimes they can initiate it after that. But sometimes it's good just to touch without it leading to sex. Well, that brings up the third, and I think it's a practice that we have started to implement in our own home that I've found very valuable, and that is the 10-second kiss. Now, obviously, a 10-second kiss is kissing for 10 seconds, but there are some rules that need to be set in place. And this is something that you could agree upon with your wife or with your husband with this. But the 10-second kiss is that you are to kiss for 10 seconds, but the rules are that you have to both pretend at least that you like it. So I know sometimes you may be mad at each other, but if you haven't kissed that day for 10 seconds, then it needs to be done. So it needs to be daily. It needs to be at least with the attempt that you're going to like it. And then number 3, that it has to be no strings attached. And so it can't be leading to something else. Now, this is true for the one who usually initiates sex. But if it's not something that would, like, for example, the spouse who doesn't normally initiate, if after this he or she wants to initiate, well, then that's okay. But the one that normally initiates should not initiate it after this. So there should be no strings attached to the 10-second kiss. Now, obviously, those are my suggestions, but you can make it changed as you want. But there's a great oneness and bonding that develops through a 10-second kiss. And what you'll find is that usually after about 4 or 5 seconds, sometimes longer than that, people begin to relax and leave off some of the the problems of the day when that occurs. So number three, practice a 10-second kiss. Number four, maintain a positive attitude and a willingness to initiate as well as receive. You know, love, when it comes particularly to touching, is a two-way road. You have to be willing to receive, and you have to be willing to give. And both of those have to be a part of it, and you have to have a mind open to, and being willing to accept that in both instances. And then number five, slow down. We are in a culture that is designed around speed. We do things as much as we can fast. We cook fast food, we drive fast, we have fast internet services, we communicate fast. But when it comes to touching, it needs to be slow. And we need to slow down, spend some time. And that's what really builds the excitement and really builds the unity when it comes to touching. Number six, appreciate the differences between your bodies. This kind of goes back to the idea of communicating what feels good and what doesn't. But we should be students of our wives and wives. You should be students of your husbands and their bodies and the differences between them, and appreciate those differences and know that they're not going to respond the same way you are, and you're not going to respond the same way that they are, but you need to appreciate those and respect those differences. Number eight, touch skin to skin as much as possible. You know, it's one thing to hug with a lot of clothes on. It's another thing to hug with very little clothes on. And, you know, just some practical suggestions when it comes to this. You know, when you sleep at night, sleep with as little clothes as possible. There's a bond that develops when skin touches skin. And, you know, this is true not only for husbands, wives, and the intimate relationship with that, but also babies and mothers. This is why often when babies nurse that they are, you know, they get so warmed up, and then when they, you know, uncover some of their bodies, and it's a body against body, there's just an intimacy connection that takes place there. And so try to touch skin to skin as much as possible when you touch. And then number nine, spend time together every day cuddling. I don't know whether it is right before you go to bed or early in the morning when you first get up or sometime throughout the day or whatever it might be. There needs to be time every day where you just hold each other, where you just cuddle each other, and you spend time just in each other's arms. And that is a way in which you can build that unity as well. So there's some touching. So there you have the best, B-E-S-T, blessing, edifying, sharing, and touching. I hope that helps you take some steps to create the best marriage that you can. Strong marriage is a legacy to pass on to your kids. So this has been episode 5 of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? The world could still be changed by just one.